Caesar Update for February 25th, 2018. I am Filippo Noffa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And I think spring is coming because, in some parts of the world, the pollen has begun. Hate myself right now. I'm starting to feel it, and I haven't really gone anywhere lately, but yeah. So come off from the Black Death and now the pollen. So yeah, that's good. But in the meantime, we've been keeping ourselves busy with the exploits of the gaming industry and, whatever games we've been playing during the week. So may as well start there. And for me, it's just a couple. Secret of Mana, the remake, which is good. It's kind of strange in some places. Like, it's weird.
As remakes go, it's really weird.
It is really weird.
Yeah.
The cuts that they made don't seem like they make much sense. If you remember in the original SNES version, when you did the cannon travel, you got that nice zooming mode 7 thing of the world there. First of all, let's just, kind of omit the part that shooting yourself out of a cannon is a really bad idea. Just in general, especially if you'd like to survive at the end of it. That animation is not in the PS4 version. All you get is just the screen fades and you get a loading screen, and then you're at where you land wherever you ended up selecting.
So they kind of stuck it in the Dreamcast era.
And then there's the weird concessions that they made. And there's a lot of loading in this game that doesn't really need to be there. You'll be going in from area to area, and it's maybe the area that you're going through is two screens long, and you get to the end of it and you're loading. Why is this like this in a PS4 game? You've got enough RAM to make that work. You shouldn't need to segment it so much, but they did. The other issue I have with it is it looks – the art style is okay, but the color choices is just kind of dull. It doesn't really have much life to it, especially when you compare it to the vibrancy of the SNES version. It still plays well, I'm still enjoying it. So, yeah, it's still a solid remake. But I do hope we get the collection over here so we can have the originals. So, yeah. And other than that, I've been playing Injustice 2, which I'm really enjoying. DC has no luck with their film universe, but, their fighting games, especially the ones done by NetherRealm, not bad at all.
Just put Ed Boon in charge of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they should do. Put Ed Boon in charge of the entire DC universe. And, I think good things could happen. So, yeah, as far as a fighting game goes, it's actually pretty solid. I'm coming to expect from second-gen NetherRealm at this point. That's at least what I'm calling games MKX and Injustice 2. With the experience that they've gained now, I'm very, very optimistic about what their next project is going to be like. They won't make those same mistakes that they did in the first gen, and it's looking good.
Well, even the first gen games shit all over anything they'd done before.
Well, yeah. Because, they brought in people who, knew what they're doing. There was, you played Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, which is when this whole thing started.
I played it as little as I was possibly able to.
Yeah, that was rough. But a lot of the ideas that you see in Injustice 2 stemmed from that. It's just Injustice 2 is the, the more competent execution of those ideas. It's good. If you can find it on sale again, I'm pretty sure it's probably going to go on sale again fairly soon, because it seems like Warner Brothers stuff tends to go on sale pretty often. Pick it up, because it's very well worth it.
Yeah.
So that's it for me. How about you, Pat?
Usual crop of fighting games and Dissidia. Still leveling up on Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I'm really feeling confident in my progress in that game. Yeah. Got another tournament coming up here on Monday. And now that my ride situation cleared itself up last night for NorCal Regionals, I'm just trying to find a room for it. And once that's done, I'll be 100% certain that I'm taking part in the Tournament of Legends qualifier that's going on there. So that's become a thing. Other than that, just more Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, Dragon Ball FighterZ as time permits. Website development really puts a dent in that time. But, yeah.
Sounds cool.
That's been my week.
All right. Well, for me, I'm still going through Kingdom Come Deliverance. I should have... be far enough that I can start my review this week. It's still a lot of fun, and I'm still constantly surprised at just how intricate and vast this game is, considering how small of a team actually worked on it.
Yeah.
And just sort of the way it sort of puts, it uses gameplay to sort of involve historical fact. Like, one of the things that, the things you have to look out for in this game is making sure that your character is fed. Because unlike, you know, a lot of other RPGs where food just sort of works as like a health boost, in this one you actually have to make sure that you are nourished, or otherwise your stats will start to slowly go down. And, one of the things, and you know, that sounds like it would be a major handicap, because that basically would mean you'd have to have some food on you at all times in your, in your inventory. But what's neat is whenever you come across any campsite or village or an inn somewhere, usually they'll have a nice pot cooking over a fire with a soup or a stew inside of it. And this is actually based on historical fact. Back in the Middle Ages, pretty much every village or little settlement or whatever would have a big cooking pot near a campsite that would basically be cooking over the fire pretty much all day, every day. Just for anyone to get a taste out of if they needed to eat something. So, you know, that's just neat.
They made the inn into a useful gameplay mechanic instead of just a place to save your game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also have to sleep too in the game. You need to get some sleep, and you also every so often you have to rest, because you know if you do work too much for too long, your body will eventually, it will start to wear on you. So, but yeah, it makes the end actually something. There's also stuff like bathhouses, which both work both as places where you can get clean and also more or less act as brothels too. So, yeah.
I did.
Mm-hmm. No, that is in fact historical fact. that's basically back during the time the game takes place in, which is, you know, 15th century Bohemia. Bathhouses were almost universally known as sources of prostitution. So, but other than that, while I was out Friday helping my grandma with her groceries over at Sam's Club, I went and picked up a copy of Splatoon 2. For my Switch, and I will admit, one of the things I had trouble with at first, and I eventually realized it wasn't a problem because you can actually change the control mechanism, is they have the motion controls set in there pretty much like automatically, so you actually have to go in and change them, which was a little annoying. But other than that, just the overall gameplay mechanics are so much fun. And just such a just an endless fount of dirty jokes, I tell you, because you're basically spraying your stuff all over the place when you're playing game and making sure it gets everywhere, and it just
it's we just have a show title.
Yeah. But that's pretty much what I've been doing. So, Teresa.
I have been playing Castle Crashers Remastered. We missed the original completely, and that is a fun co-op brawler. We're enjoying playing that. Haven't gotten too far in it, but you know, that's just like a time issue. We'll keep going with it. It was on sale, I guess, like what, about a week ago, 2 weeks ago? And we picked it up on the Xbox Marketplace. And I also got Sims 4. I think week before I mentioned it as my pick of the week. And I did pick that up as well. And everybody knows Sims. Yeah, that's, I'm going to be in that for a bit. quite a bit. Played a little more Breath of the Wild this week. Kind of stagnated there, but you know, I'll get back to it. There's no time crunch here. I'll finish it when I finish it. And then I played Monster Hunter World a lot. that's fun. Kind of in a way reminds me of, you know, the little pickup games that we could do with Phantasy Star Online. You know, you can play just here and just there and pick what you want. So that was pretty cool. I do like the gameplay mechanics of it. It's neat. It's the first Monster Hunter that I've played. So, yeah, that's fun. I don't think I'm going to play it as much as I played the other stuff, though. So that really has been about it gaming-wise. What about you, Chris?
So I've been playing more Shadow of the Colossus, beating the 14th Colossus, which was the first one I did not remember at all. Mm. It's the one that involves towers. Yeah, I'm going to keep going on with that. Maybe try and finish it up tonight. Mm. I've been playing some Pixel Junk Monsters Duo, which is the mobile game they were trying to get kickstarted that did not make its funding. But they did put out the prototype for backers, and now they just opened it up to anybody that fills out their little Google Docs form. They get added on to the beta testing programs that Apple and Google have for their stores. It's pretty good. You don't have as much direct control over the Tiki Man as you do in the regular games. They've changed a couple of things. You do kind of tap to direct him to go somewhere. So there's no... the original had like a mechanic where you did not want to have him just standing out in the middle of the areas. So, because you could get hit by enemies and sort of lose a bunch of your coins and gems. So instead, he's just invincible, just doesn't get hit by them. But other than that, there's less of the upgrades. It just has damage increase, increased range, and increased or faster shooting times. Those are the main three. So you just upgrade those three, and then it's at max level. Versus the original, where it sort of had set upgrades for each of the tower types. So, like, the cannon tower might just have more damage boosters upgrades than ranger time.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's just set for all of them, so you know what you can do. But if you just dance at the towers, that'll increase your little like XP meter that then can just get those upgrades as well. Or you can just spend gems on that. Either way, it works pretty well. But yeah, the game so far has been pretty hard. I'm on the second island, and it's kind of trying to figure out... It doesn't lay out like what are the easier levels and which ones are the harder ones. So there's some where you start off with harder monsters up front. You can see sort of the level for each one. So far, I think it's been 1 through 5. And that's been sort of one of the tougher things, like starting and just trying to figure out if I just have a bad strategy going into it, or if I'm just too weak so far.
Mm.
But still been beating a couple of the levels on that second one. And unlocking some more towers. Because they kind of have like a card system for unlocking towers and upgrading them. Every, I think, 2 or 4 hours, you get new little packs that you can open up for free. You can buy some with the daily login currency, or they don't have any paid stuff in it at this point because it's just a beta. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. Looking forward to putting some more time into it. And I've been doing a lot of PSVR stuff, making some new videos. The first game was Dead Hungry, which is the new Pixel Junk game from Q Games. It is a cooking game. You have like a little food truck that you can cook burgers, fries, pizzas, stuff like that, to feed to the zombies that are coming at your little food truck. And once you sort of fill up or empty their health meter, they turn back into humans. So it's a fun little way of curing zombie stuff just by giving them food. The cool thing is, while you can just sit there and just cook normal burgers, pizzas and such, you can feed them anything in your truck. So you can put raw patties on the buns, then put a towel in there, throw cheese, and then put a pizza on there, and then put the top bun and throw it at them, and that's a different type of burger. Because there's stupid zombies. They'll eat whatever you throw at them.
Mm-hmm.
There was at one point where I was just throwing the lettuce and tomato and cheese that I have like for toppings. I was just throwing that at them, and that gives them – it takes a little bit off their health bar. But that was just fun when it started to go out a little bit out of control. Just throw it. Eat stupid cheese, you stupid zombies. All that sort of stuff. But yeah, that was pretty fun. I played Dext, which is a Ninja Theory game. It's sort of their first VR game, which is a light gun shooter where you have... I think you can play it with the DualShock 4, but I was playing with two moves, where one move is sort of your fire gun. The other one is your ice gun. And you essentially want to shoot the fire enemies with the ice gun and the ice enemies with the fire gun. So sort of one of those games where it's all about trying to confuse you as you try to keep everything straight and get your and not try to attack the enemies of the same element as the gun, because they will fire like a projectile at you that can damage you. Yeah, that one's pretty good. I imagine that's pretty crazy on a DualShock 4. Move seems a little bit better than that.
Mm.
I've also been playing Accounting Plus, which is a game that is it's made by Crows Grows Crows, written by Justin Roiland, and voice acted by him. So the characters have that Rick and Morty kind of level of just being very overly talky and belligerent and cursing. And I played a couple of the first few areas. It's kind of like Inception, but if it involved VR and Rick and Morty style humor. One of the last things you do in the tutorial is you pick your favorite Rick and Morty meme, which has obviously like Pickle Rick, Wubba Lubba Dub, that sort of thing. And there's one more. I forget which one it is, but I don't know if that affects anything, but I just picked the one that wasn't the other two. It's like that's what everybody else is going to pick. But yeah, it's really fun. The first area you get into after the initial part is like a forest, and this guy comes out of the tree and is like, "Hey, fuck you. What are you doing here? Get out of my forest. Fuck you." And just mess with this stuff. He's like, "Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Fuck you. Get out of here." And you do the few quick puzzles in that little area. You go one deeper, which is into this alleyway where there is a gang. Let's talk about how hard they are and all that. And you're just sitting there listening to them just babble on about how hard they are. Nobody's going to touch them. They're just going to kill everybody and all that. And so you make a noise. And they're like, "What? Who's that?" You could warp over and like, "Oh, you're going to try out for a gang? You know, how show us how hard you are." I just fucking went over and I forget what the first thing I did was. The second one involved me throwing a brick through a window, which just caused all sorts of mayhem because the cops start showing up. And just the way this game is, there's no real dynamic stuff to it. It's all sort of like room scale stuff. So you just hear the cops, you see the sirens at the one end of the alleyway, you just hear them like, "Oh, we're gonna get over there, we're gonna bust you guys," and I dropped my flashlight, I gotta pick that up, and like, "Oh, we're gonna do this thing." Oh yeah, the first thing you do is you pick up a nudie magazine. It just has nudes on it with a picture of a skeleton on it. and you pick up the brick and you could throw it through the window. I was throwing it at them and they weren't. It's like, "No, don't do that. Don't. That's no. We don't. That'll get us in trouble," and all that sort of stuff. Then the VR goggles for that is it's his frog doll. And the visor is on his butt. So you just stick a frog's butt in your face, essentially. It's a fun, silly game. I want to play some more of that. Yeah, that's definitely a game that people, especially people like Rick and Morty, should definitely check out. I also played Brookhaven Experiments, which is a kind of a gallery shooter. You're standing in place the entire time. I was playing with the aim controller, and it's kind of a horror game. There are zombies and other monsters coming at you, and you have to, you know, use your gun to shoot them, take them down before they get to you. I did pretty okay for a bit, and then they just had this big zombie just come busting through this this wooden barrier and just fucking scare the shit out of me. I got to the second area, which is sort of out in the middle of a park. Where it's kind of pitch black, so you have to use your flashlight. And they introduced a couple more monsters in there, and I took out a boss that is very much like a Resident Evil boss, because you're shooting at the eyes. It just has eyes all over it. And yeah, it's pretty good. Me not being a fan of horror games means I probably won't play much more of it. In the main menus, you can sort of see that there's this big boss monster. It kind of looks like the one they were teasing for Stranger Things Season 2. It's like that sort of thing that's crawling or just roaming around in the backgrounds. So I definitely don't want to face that thing. And I also played Apollo 11 VR, which is sort of a documentary experience game that I thought was really cool. So at first it shows you sort of John F. Kennedy's speech, you know, proclaiming that we're going to go to the moon by the end of the decade, that sort of stuff. And then you get to hear him talk about it, and a couple of the astronauts and some of the other people that were involved in that program at that time. So we'll just talk about the challenges of that whole mission, and sort of what it's like to go into space and all that sort of stuff. And it seems like they have a lot of the same, a lot of the audio, original audio from that stuff, that plays in there. And you get to experience the launch. I did the, one of the docking where you get the shuttle into the booster that they're in, sort of out in space. And so they get that, the landing sort of pad, that landing legs and all that, that they're going to use to land on the moon. Which you actually control that part of it. And it's kind of crazy because you have to flip the shuttle around. Pointed at the booster and slowly attach it to the part on there, which I fucked up on the video every single time I tried it. Initially because I was not looking at the right thing. So when I got out of that and the video was over, I did it the first time.
Yeah.
So I finally figured out what I was supposed to do, but
yeah,
because you can't go too fast. You have to not screw around initially because you're drifting apart and you can't waste too much fuel for that. So it's some of that sort of stuff, but that is pretty cool. But also, if you don't want to do that, they just offer a cinematic version of it. But it was pretty cool to experience some of that stuff, and I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. I think that's been pretty much it. I think I pre-ordered Moss. It's coming out this week.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to playing that. And it seems like a lot of those E3 PSVR games are coming out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
I think it's weird because VR right now is in a weird place. It's like it wants to succeed, but a lot of the VR developers don't really know what they're doing right now. It's like a completely unproven media. Nobody really knows what they're doing at this point. And we're seeing stuff that probably shouldn't be in VR. And then we're also seeing stuff like the Apollo 11 stuff, which makes total sense to have in VR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we're still in the throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks.
Phase. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. We have Sony is putting a good bit of money into funding a variety of games.
Yeah.
Some more traditional stuff as well as some more innovative stuff.
Yeah.
So definitely look forward to seeing how that stuff pans out. The PC stuff seems to be where it's kind of struggling the most.
Yeah.
Because they're not at the greatest prices. And at least for Vive, there's thousands of VR things on there.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's kind of hard to find all the greatest stuff.
Yeah. And I'll point out, I don't know if you were aware of this, Chris, but if you have a PSVR headset, there is an open source PC driver that will let it use Vive software. So,
yeah. There you go. But I don't have a good enough PC for that.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, just need a graphics card, so you have to spend $1,000 to get that.
Yeah. that's the problem.
Yeah. So, anyways. All right, so we'll move on to our topics of the week. And first of all, we'll start off with... there's a Papers, Please short film that's now available. You can watch it on YouTube or via the link, the Polygon link that's there. They've got the video embedded. It's pretty much what you would think it would be. So, Papers, Please. Play the game or watch the movie. It will depress you anyway.
So, mm-hmm.
So there's that. Second of all, Burnout Paradise Remastered, March 16th, a game that came out kind of out of nowhere, but makes kind of perfect sense that they would bring this back.
Mm-hmm.
More popular of the Burnout series.
Yeah. Even I played it.
Yeah.
And it should put to rest all the comparisons that Forza Need for Speed has been getting lately for, hey, this is just like Burnout Paris. Like, no, it's not. Those games are bland corporate Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
It's not anywhere as good.
Yeah. So this remastered version will run in 4K on PS4 Pro and Xbox One X. I'm guessing the One X will also do super sampling for if you're running it in 1080p. So there's that. With the firmware 5.5 on PS4 Pro, you'll be able to do that as well. So keep that in mind. It's also going to come with all of the DLC except for one.
Yeah, they're time saver.
Yeah,
DLC.
So the microtransaction that I think it was $10 to unlock everything. Yeah, that's not going to be in there.
And when I bought the Ultimate Edition of it, that was the one DLC I did not download.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to earn it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, all the DLC is included in there. There's no microtransaction. It's just the complete box, and you can play it. Very
and
tempted.
It includes all the music.
Yeah.
So Avril Lavigne will criticize your girlfriend?
And Axl Rose will introduce you to Paradise City. But yeah, that's going to be good to have, I think. It probably will be one I end up picking up.
I'm curious to see if the multiplayer has the camera stuff in it.
I think they said that the multiplayer was going to be pretty much identical.
Which means it'll probably be easier to do on PS4 because Kinect is. Yeah. Kinect and the adapter are not easy to get.
Yeah.
So people on the S or the X are probably not going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, the X does support webcams now. So, but I don't know anybody who like even has webcam connected to their Xbox anymore. So.
Yeah. I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah.
Streaming.
Yeah. Because you forgot to unhook it 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, my Kinect is still plugged in because I still have the OG Xbox. Call me old-fashioned, but I like the look of that enormous black thing. So,
and there's our show title.
Wow.
Great. Moving on. Soul Calibur 6 news. We got two more characters confirmed. Ivy and Zasalamel are going to be in there.
Yep.
Soul Calibur 6 is starting to look more and more solid as it gets closer to release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just what I wanted to see. Fierce Void and Spiral Embrace have a much more significant intimidation factor attached to them.
Yep.
That's my life getting more complicated.
Oh, well. Yeah, so what's your take on Soul Calibur 6 at this point?
Mine?
Yeah.
It's going a little more over the top than I would like, but I suppose it's a fairly natural progression for the series.
Mm.
They're changing enough that I think we're just going to have the game in our hands before we can fully evaluate whether these adjustments are for good or ill. But
yeah.
It can't be worse than 5.
No, but that's a low bar. So
yeah.
If it
comes out at, as good as 1 and 2, then so much the better.
Yeah.
I would take another 4.
Yeah,
but I'm really hoping they knock this one out of the park because Soul Calibur needs a win.
Yeah,
so badly.
I'm noticing they haven't announced any crossover characters as of yet, and let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, that would be nice. Okubo mentioned that there are going to be some guest characters, though, so...
Yeah. We'll talk about guest characters a little later. Yeah,
hopefully nothing system exclusive, because they're literally good for nothing but marketing.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, Tekken's guest characters have been... cross-platform, so...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Namco has kind of learned from the whole Soul Calibur 2 era.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
Yep.
Further on, we've got for the Xbox One coming out on March 2nd, Turok 1 and 2 remasters. These are the ones that came out on the PC a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
So, great. If you want to play those on your Xbox One, you now can. It's Turok with modern controls, so make of that what you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just pointing it out there because I know there's a few of our listeners who are fans of Turok. So, yeah, there you go. You can now play them on your Xbox mm-hmm. One.
Hey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally,
did they give Turok 1 a multiplayer mode?
I don't think they did.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That surprises me.
Yeah. And finally, Nier Automata's first anniversary is coming up soon, and they're going to be doing a live stream March 3rd to the 4th. So, yeah, a whole day live stream. I think if you were a fan of Nier Automata, and if you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know that we are.
Yep.
You probably want to tune into this, because the only thing better than a Yoko Taro game is Yoko Taro live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yoko Taro live with his crazy mask.
Yeah.
And you don't schedule something like this without news.
Yeah. There's going to be news, especially, you know, you don't schedule 24 hours, you know, of crazy if you're just not going to do anything. So I suspect that Nier Automata did well enough that perhaps there will be more Nier. And that would be a good thing.
And Yoko Taro... 24 hours means there's probably going to be alcohol involved, so...
Yep. Prepare accordingly.
Yeah. You know, sober Yoko Taro is crazy enough. Yoko Taro with alcohol in him is... chaos neutral incarnate, so...
And also, a lot of fun for the interpreter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll move on to our more in-depth topics of the week. First off, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. This one I saw and put down for you, Pat, because it's kind of an outline of all the modes that they've got going on for the game.
Yeah, I haven't actually looked much into this yet. Seems to be... a moment. Yeah, pretty standard stuff. There's story modes for each of the properties that are included.
Yeah, there's a tactics mode in here that looks like it's kind of a systems breakdown, which may be very helpful for players to get into.
That could be the tutorial, and that would be interesting to see. Hmm. If they were building a whole game mode around it.
Yeah. Let's see, what else we got here? Survival mode.
Standard
stuff. Training.
Gallery mode I like because there's a lot of really good artwork attached to this game already.
Yeah. Gallery mode. Replay theater. You got to have that in a fighting game.
Yeah. I don't understand why any studios don't do that still.
Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, it looks like it's got, you know, all the standard stuff that you want it and maybe a you know, their own take on a couple of the other types of modes. So you're not going to be hurting for content in this game, for sure.
No.
So, yeah, good one to keep an eye out for.
And $20 gets you all the DLC characters.
Yeah.
Which are many.
Yeah, like, well, half of them, so... next up, Xbox chief Phil Spencer has been talking lately, and he says he wants Microsoft to take a more active role in getting rid of toxic gamers.
Good.
Yes, good.
I think this means
that they're going to start employing Blizzard-like tactics, so much the better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when if the platform holder starts getting serious about this stuff and, you know, basically saying, no, it's not okay, then maybe that'll just, you know, give everybody a better experience on the whole.
Yeah.
You know, free speech or freedom of expression, that argument don't fly no more. Especially since it don't mean what you think it does. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be curious what ideas he has for that.
Yes.
Because I know there are things like Nazi groups on Xbox Live right now.
Oh. Yeah, there are.
People have been recommended them because they happen to pick the right game that somebody else was playing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you might enjoy this Aryan race group. They also enjoy Forza Horizon.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything that bad, but I have seen the recommendations that make no goddamn sense. Hopefully they'll start taking, you know, steps to, you know, get rid of those types of things from their platform. What else could they do? Well, more significant consequences for people who are caught in this kind of activity.
Yeah.
Microsoft does have a lot of telemetry. I don't think people realize just how much they can see when you're playing. So, good for Phil on this. It will be interesting to see how they implement it, but the fact that they're looking at doing it is a good sign for, well, everybody involved, except for maybe the trolls.
And the people who have to enforce it, because this is going to be quite a project.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. They're going to have to staff up for this. And, of course, that leaves, you know, platform holders like Nintendo and Sony to maybe pick up the ball afterwards. Because, yeah, Nintendo maybe not so much, because they're more a little bit more family-friendly to begin with. Yeah. So, and their online services kind of suck anyway. But, you know, that stuff does still go on to a more limited degree. But all those hate groups and stuff do still exist on PSN. So, yeah. Some of them coordinate their rallies and crap over the PlayStation app. So, yeah, make of that what you will.
Yeah, I've seen some weird community stuff.
Yeah.
Like people doing hentai stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like also exchanging pictures through there.
Yeah. Okay. So what else have we got to talk about this week? Okay. Final Fantasy 15 has been out for a while.
Yep.
The PC version.
It will not die.
Yeah. Right.
And then they say it's probably going to keep going into 2020.
Yeah. But if you have the PC version of Final Fantasy 15, you'll be now able to play as Gordon Freeman for some reason.
Valve likes to do that with a lot of indies and third parties.
Yeah.
I can't see any reason that this makes any sense. Then again, the entire setting of Final Fantasy 15 makes no goddamn sense to me.
Absolutely none.
Yeah. So I guess it's like, okay, whatever, if it's just another value add for the people who are enjoying the game. And apparently there are quite a few of them. Because it's made its money back. Which is remarkable, given the development hell that that game ended up in.
Yeah, Tetsuya Nomura will piss away your money.
Yeah. So, and another Final Fantasy 15 news, there will be 4 more character episodes coming. The big news here is that they've actually been pushed. They will be pushed into 2019. So basically a delay. Not all of them will be hitting in 2018 because basically Tabata was saying, yeah, we've seen the surveys. We realized that you guys weren't too happy with how the character episodes that we did release came out. So we're going to take more time with these other ones and make sure that, you know, they're up to scratch. Cool. Okay. Hajime Tabata, I got to hand it to him. He's going to polish that turd.
Yeah.
Shines.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the multiplayer in that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, but do you buy a Final Fantasy game for multiplayer?
There's Final Fantasy 14.
Not that. Yeah.
Well, there's
not this one.
But that's a specific MMO. I mean, yeah. This one is like, yeah, okay, we got a single player action RPG type thing going on here. Let's throw those mechanics into multiplayer and see how they work. Oh, okay, they work okay, so let's ship that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The only thing I'm going to say is Final Fantasy 15 is not a game that I am going to purchase, despite the fact that I have been tempted many times to, you know, get it because they keep putting it on sale.
I know. But it's because nobody wants to.
I have no money for Square Enix for this game.
Yeah.
None.
I'm going to get it on sale, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Nope. Just nope. Not going to do it.
So. Yeah, it seems like they're going to release official mod tools. So you can just have, like, all Kenny Crow, as he says here. Mm-hmm. Change all the character models to that. Probably do that with Cindy if you want to get your booby fantasy game.
Yeah, so they're going to basically turn it into, well, a free-for-all is what it's going to end up at. Well, a very limited free-for-all, because, one, Final Fantasy XV fans, and two, Final Fantasy XV fans on the PC. So, that's a slightly more limited subset, so a little bit
I'd be curious if people could put in, like, Final Fantasy VII character models.
Oh, I'm sure they'll do that.
That would be hilarious in, like, such a... where the rest of the game looks so much better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cloud will end up in there at some point. Yeah. So, that is Final Fantasy 15. I thought it was worth touching on, at least, because it still exists. We will still be hearing about it until 2020, most likely. And, yeah, you're not getting any of my money, Square. Just, it's not happening.
I'll pay them for Lost Sphere.
Yeah. Get a Switch first. It would be a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And second to last story of the day is we got word that pirates had cracked the first UWP-protected game. Well, yeah, UWP-protected games have been out a long time. This is just the first one that has been cracked.
Yeah.
And they picked Zoo Tycoon Ultimate Animal Collection for some reason.
For what?
For Windows 10. According to the Torrent Freak article, there are 5 layers of DRM in this thing.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I heard you like DRM, so we put some DRM in your DRM, and then we put DRM in your DRM, and then we put DRM... Yeah, I keep going for a while. So, the key one, though, was Arkhan, which is kind of a system like Denuvo. We've talked about... quite extensively already on this show. Except these guys are actually even more arrogant than the Denuvo people. Going so far as to say game over hackers on their website.
Oh, that is just... I'm painting a target on yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I'm pretty sure that's why Codex went after this particular game. Just to say that they could. So yes, folks, DRM doesn't work. If somebody is motivated enough, they're going to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can go and download Zoo Tycoon Ultimate Animal Collection. Don't, but you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And finally, the loot box fiasco continues.
It's really just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Chris Lee, you know, he's a representative for Hawaii, had a couple of ESA representatives there and started grilling them on the potential issues of loot boxes. And as you might imagine... the representatives were not exactly prepared
for
the questioning. It was actually kind of shocking to watch just how, out of touch they were. So one guy in particular straight up said he couldn't answer the question and then just looked over at the guy on the right and that guy was like, yeah, I can answer that. So, I'm guessing that guy was his boss, and the guy on the left is probably going to be fired soon, because he's... yeah. So what we can really take away from this, I think, is the ESA and the gaming industry as a whole really needs to start taking this a little bit more seriously. Hawaii's not the only state that's looking at laws like this. You know, the UK and other parts of the world are looking at legislation for this. ESA does want to self-regulate that kind of thing, but I don't think that's going to happen in this case. They got away with it with the ESRB back when, you know, the Mortal Kombat and everything was the big topic of controversy. But, well, back then it was the ESA, but I think legislation is going to happen. What's your thought on this, guys?
I think it's inevitable.
Pretty much.
And there really is a gambling component to it. And
a lot of times it is involving actual cash, even if it's in a very roundabout way. So, I mean, you know, it was fine when you were talking about – it was, you know, when you were talking about just actual game content, you know, a self-regulating board kind of made sense. But now you're getting the economy involved and yep. people's money. And there's no way that the state can't just look away. Yep. Like,
yeah, what I don't understand is why this hasn't happened sooner. Okay, it blew up with Battlefront 2, but it had been brewing for quite a while. And yeah. if you start looking at this in, you know, real terms, I don't see how an in-game currency is any different than going to a casino and you know, exchanging money for casino chips.
Chips. Yep.
It's pretty much the same damn thing.
No, it's exactly the same damn thing.
The only thing is, when you're at a casino, you can touch your chips and
feel them in your hands. Also, here, they're just
pass
on a them screen.
Out. Yeah. Them out on the other end. So, yeah. Anyone else want to chime in before we wrap up for the week?
I think it's going to be a while before we see anything happen there.
I actually have to agree there, because if there's one thing when it comes to biggest business regulations here in the U.S. is that we are slow as molasses and getting them working.
Then again, it's an election year.
That is also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other component of this is that the EU is looking into it, and they are not slow at regulation.
No.
No.
So yeah, if they decide that you know, this is in fact gambling, the AAA industry is going to have a much harder time of it. They'd have to end up, you know, complying with EU law or contesting it, and yeah, that's just going to be messy on all fronts. So,
yep.
This is the times we live in, folks, where you can play a game and be sold improvements to it for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
Just because they want more money from you.
Yep, and just because they either, you know, just because that, you know, the board of directors need a new yacht.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways. All right, so I guess we'll end the show with our picks of the week, as usual. I haven't mentioned it on the show, but I'm not collecting or buying vinyl anymore, but I know that some of our listeners still do. So I want to make this my pick and let you guys know that DataDiscs have their 15th title available for pre-order. The limited editions have sold out already. If you didn't get in on the Saturday when that went out, you're not going to get those.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Afterburner, and it includes the soundtrack for the first two games. The purple vinyl is available right now, and it's £20. Pounds sterling, because that's what they sell them in. You can check out their they have samples available on SoundCloud. You can listen to see what kind of quality you're looking at. One thing I will say about DataDisc's mastering is it is top notch. They've got a proper engineer that works on these titles. Often they use the original sources. Yeah, they always do top-notch stuff, and one thing I really wish is the data disks would actually start selling digital files. That'd be really nice, because their soundtrack, especially the Sega stuff, is the best out there. So,
yeah.
That's my pick.
Is that your way of telling me to stop linking you to vinyls that get released?
Oh, well, I usually end up seeing those those links anyway. It's like... Yeah, it's I still keep track of it. It's just I'm not buying anymore for financial reasons. So maybe eventually I'll be able to start collecting again. But for now, I set it aside for the moment.
So, yeah.
So what's next, Pat?
So my pick of the week is that I think it's far enough along to where I can open the doors to the World Warriors video library for our listeners to put it through its paces. There's also a link in the show notes, but it's at worldwarriors.net/video-library. And if you want to watch some match videos, if you want to study a certain matchup, or you're taking to learning a specific character in one of the games that we cover, go ahead, give it a look, and tell us what you think. There are some known issues with it, but we're working those out as we speak. And hopefully you get something out of it, because that's the entire reason this is a thing. Yeah. Is putting a resource out there for aspiring fighting game players, or even existing pros, to study and learn from. So
yeah, the key was really that all of this material did exist already. We're not reinventing the wheel here.
Nope, it's just about tearing down the barriers between people and information.
Yeah.
Yep.
We hope you like it.
Yep. I know I'm excited.
Yep. So how about you, Teresa?
I am going to say something that is currently available. It may not be available forever, because this is kind of the way that Amazon goes. But they have the 3 months Xbox Live Gold membership for $15. And then, of course, after you buy it and apply the digital code through your email, if you sign up for auto-renewal, you'll get a 4th month for free. So you'll get 4 months for $15, and just set your calendar and see if there's another deal out at the end of 4 months, or add it on to whatever your existing total is. So not a bad deal.
Not at all.
Yeah, $15 for for 3 months. That's it's $10 off. So
yeah, well, 4 months if you stretch it that way. With the auto renewal.
Yeah. So yeah. Good pick. I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be getting some use out of that.
Yeah.
Yep. Unfortunately, I'm in Canada, so I can't actually buy that one.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Chris?
Okay, so to go along with my PSVR segment earlier, they have a bunch of games on sale on PSN. It sort of coincides with the headsets also going on sale for the past week or so. I think it ends later this week, I think on the 3rd. So you can get headsets for pretty good prices, but there's also a ton of games that are worth getting on sale. I've definitely picked up Dead Hungry. That was where I got it for $5 instead of $20, so that was a really nice drop. Trying to look over some of the good stuff here. Darknet is a really good puzzle game for $4.49. That's something people should check out. Carnival Games VR for $6. That's something. It's a good showcase title. Way better than it probably has any right to be, based on the previous games as shovelware on the Wii.
Yeah.
Like Headmaster's $10. That game is pretty funny and doesn't even require any controllers. It's all,
that was a it's long all, game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good game. It's kind of like if Portal was about, instead of like these puzzle rooms, it's about doing headers in soccer at a quote-unquote training camp. It isn't a tournament camp. But yeah, there's also, like, I Expect You to Die is 750. That's a really good, like, escape room puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff here. Definitely stay away from NBA 2K VR, because that game sucks.
Hmm.
Yeah, Psychonauts in the Rhombus of Rumen is a really fun adventure game. Res Infinite Super Hot VR is also on sale. That's one of the best ones out there if you want to actually be in kind of a... be in the Matrix, except the visual style is pretty different.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some good stuff here. And I'm working on more videos to put up, so people can check some of this stuff out on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And cool. Also with that, Night in the Woods is also on sale for its first time on PS4. That is $14. That's a game people should definitely check out.
Yeah, heard a lot of good stuff about that one.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
So I guess with that, we will end the show. Remember, if you're not subscribed to the show, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite RSS reader. You can also check us out at smashpad.com or facebook.com/smashpad or Twitter, where you can find us there. We have Twitter handles. I'll put them in the show notes next time. Regardless. So, with that, I am Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And we'll see you next week.